A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Fern here, and what a special episode we have for you today. It's a chat with Laurie Vincent, one half of Slaves and now also one half of Larry Pink the Human. And it's in that new guise that he's contributed a song to Happy Place the album. It's a wonderful song. We'll hear it in just a bit and stay tuned to hear the heartbreaking story behind how it came to be. Okay, here we go. Hello, Laurie.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm good, and I'm really glad that you are on this mini series of our podcast for the Happy Place album, and I'm thrilled that you're on the album. Thank you so much for being part of it.
Thank you for having me. It's really exciting, and dream come true.
Well, I've been listening to your song all morning in preparation to talk to you today and to really sort of like lyrically listen to it. So I thought we would hear a bit of the song now before we go into our chat. So here it is. This is your song, Love You By, from the album.
No direction, just pass to take. Lines and shades, you can't erase. There's no backspace for the darkness, it won't go.
Oh, mate, it gets me every time hearing that. It's just so beautiful. And for anyone that knows you from Slaves, obviously a very, very different direction from what you used to. You know, I've known you for a long time now, and you would come into the live lounge and you guys would thrash about and make this extreme amount of amazing noise, a cacophony of noise. And this is such a different direction for you. Can you talk a little bit about stylistically what you wanted to get from Larry Pink the Human, this new musical side of you?
Essentially, the band was just feeling super comfortable. It was something that I've been working on since I was in my early 20s. You know, when you're single, you're angry at the world, you're working in a milkshake shop or Topshop if you're Isaac. And and then your reality changes, you know. You become comfortable, you have kids, you settle down, you have a mortgage. And it was easy. It was like I could keep touring, keep releasing music, had a fan base. And I was just thinking, what's the most unexpected thing I could do right now? And that would be to sort of unleash my secret sensitive side. As a kid growing up, I'd listen to like The Clash or Crass or Black Flag or Gallows, but equally and maybe more so, I was listening to like Leonard Cohen, Elliot Smith, Ben Howard, Bon Iver, Dire Straits, David Bowie, Gaslight Anthem, so people that are real storytellers. And there was that whole part of my sort of musical DNA that wasn't getting used. There's a couple of songs, if you're a big fan of the band, on the albums where we did Strip It Back, Slow It Down. And they ended up being my favourite moments, but people don't want to see that live as much, so they never made the set. And I just was on one of the last few tours, and I was just basically thought, I need to have a break. Isaac needed a break, so I'm just going to start this. And I heard this David Bowie quote, which I think sums it up perfectly. So he says, "If you feel safe in the area you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little further into the water than you feel you're capable of being in. Go a little bit over your depth. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the bottom, you're just about in the right place to do something exciting."
Yes. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm a massive Bowie fan, and I wasn't aware of that quote. And it obviously succinctly sums up what he was about, you know, changing his look, his genre, his influence and his whole character. And is it quite scary for you to show, I guess, a more vulnerable side of who you are, not only musically, but who you are as a person.
Like, I don't consider myself to be able to sing at all. I didn't think I could write lyrics, and that was the thing. I'm in love with lyricists, so being in the band and only really inputting into the music and sort of saying, oh yeah, I think that lyric's good, or have an idea for a chorus, to then step into like this realm that I like looked up to so much, that was really hard, because I'm comparing myself to Isaac, comparing myself to my other contemporaries, and then it all dawned on me that like only you have your voice, so you have to sort of own your voice and make it work. I started writing this song 5 years ago.
Really?
So I got bought a guitar lately on Christmas 2015, and I remember sitting in bed next to Emma, my partner at the time, and I had the chorus, and I was thinking about an argument we'd had where we stood on the corner of outside our flat in New Cross and it's raining, and that lyric came to me, and it took me 5 years to build up the confidence to even finish writing the song. And the song was recorded way before anything had happened this year, and the song was actually about the intimacy you lose with your partner when you have kids.
Ooh.
And that sort of selfish feeling as a man that you're second fiddle and you want your partner and you want the intimacy, but it's a really hard balance. Especially Emma was hardcore earth mum, breastfeeding, there was no date nights, there was nothing, and it's hard at the time to put that into focus. And the song's named Love You By because I used to walk to the shop and like I'd written the song and I was like, I need to come up with a title. And I'm a big fan of like Joy Division, where all their titles aren't in the lyrics of the song, so always trying to challenge yourself to make a song title that's not a lyric. And she rang me up and she was like, did you remember the bread? And I was like, yeah, I've got the bread, Love You By. So that's where the title came from. Emma passed away in June of cervical cancer. What was unique about Emma is she had 2 smear tests that were clear, and she actually went to the hospital roughly 30 times before it got diagnosed. So she was like on it. There's a stigma around that cancer in specific because people think if you have your smear test, you're going to be fine, but that's also obviously wasn't true. So I had this grand plan. I was like, put the band on a break, take a year out to work on Larry Pink the Human, and then at the end of that year, see where you're at and continue. As we started taking our year out, that's when Emma got sick. And I said to her, I was like, are you okay with me doing this? I think I really need to like pull myself through it. And she was like, yeah, totally. And I was like, I also want you to witness what I can achieve whilst you're still here. And so she backed it fully. So yeah, we found out her cancer was terminal, and then a week later we released Love You By, which is why since this year, like, I believe in like the universe and the power of things so deeply.
Thank you for beginning to start to share your story, because I'm sure, like anybody else out there, when you're a young adult and you're starting a family, it wouldn't even cross your mind that you would have to experience this and be in the position that you are today. And I wonder, you know, what your coping mechanisms have been. Obviously, music's been a huge catharsis for you. Has that been the main thing that's kind of allowed you to process what's happening?
It is. I think I've written so many songs this year, like Stolen 10 Minutes when the kids have just gone to bed or whatever, and the lyrics seep out of me. I think I've learned a lot of discipline through what's happened, because like the 6 months up leading up to Emma's death, it would be, you know, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. kid shift, and then Emma, you'd be with her when she needed something, you'd be woken up in the middle of the night for a baby or to get a hot water bottle for Emma. So I developed lots of coping mechanisms. But what's interesting and what I find quite mind-blowing is a lot of them happen subconsciously. So I got sober about 2.5 years ago. At the time, there was no real... It wasn't desperate. I wasn't in a bad position, but I just saw my life going one way and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. So I stopped drinking, And then about a year later, I started exercising a lot, started running a lot. And so I was already putting the tools in place to be better and cope with this, which also makes me wonder whether I knew subconsciously. So when I first met Emma, we met and then we moved into our flat within like 2 months of knowing each other. It was just like fireworks from the start. And I was 21 and like super ambitious, and she was a bit older. She was 26 and she was more cautious, but I just completely led the charge and I was like, right, let's move in, let's do this. Anyway, we lived together for a few months, and then she got abnormal cells. So she went for her smear test. She got stage CIN3 abnormal cells, and she had to have a LEX procedure, which is where they remove a portion of the cervix to try and get rid of the abnormal cells. So that happened. And when that happened, that introduced anxiety into Emma's life, something that she'd never experienced before. And there are some people that suffer with health anxiety, and but what I witnessed living with Emma was like, it was constant. It was never out of her mind. And that was the first challenge that we encountered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And Emma's main anxiety sparks from the fact that she felt that she was too lucky. So when she found out she was terminal, it was quite remarkable. She like came out, gave me a hug. We had our cry or whatever. And then within 5 minutes, she was fully composed. And she was like, you will move on. That makes me happy. You're going to be happy again. And it was almost like relief that she finally had this answer that she'd always, the worry that she'd always had in her mind. It's these compulsive thoughts in a way, like if two bad things happened in a week, that ruined our week because we were waiting for a third bad thing to happen. Like I don't want to paint her in the wrong light, because at the same time as all of these thoughts, she was the most radiant bundle of joy ever. And she would bring so much happiness to anyone she encountered. But it's those deepest, darkest sides of you that only your partner see. So she came out and she said those things about me moving on. And she said, I don't have a bucket list. She was like, we did it all. She was like, I met my kids. I found the love of my life. I bought a house. All these things that seemed completely unattainable. We traveled the world. We took Bart on tour. She was being brave, and I don't believe that she really meant it. Like, but she could feel happy knowing that she'd done so much. But that is what's so hard about anxiety, is that you can then also suffer in your happiest moments because you're like, well, this is too good to be true. And I'm very fortunate that, touch wood, and so far, yeah, it's not got hold of me. Like, I just managed to stay present. I got really into watching football when Emma got sick, and I didn't realise what I was doing. But as I've recently been reading Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now,
he's amazing.
What I was doing was, you have to be engaged to concentrate on football. It's live. If they like, it's not something you can pause. So I was actually, without knowing it, trying to be in the now. And that's why I got so much enjoyment out of watching football. And then I started playing football. And so that was massive for me.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point, because a lot of the time we focus on things that we think we should be doing, like we must meditate to be present. People are like, I don't know how to meditate. I don't want to meditate. Or you should be doing whatever, you know, the new craze is. But, you know, like you've just articulated, you find your thing, whatever it is that keeps you in the moment and keeps you joyful, that's good enough. And I think it's really important to sort of mark that out, that you find what's right for you. And I know that when we've talked, you've really wanted to sort of talk about, or perhaps highlight, the importance for men talking about mental health and just communicating. Because, you know, still, unfortunately, we see these statistics of male suicide, and it's nobody wants to see those statistics, and one of the things that could help, that we do know, which is a simple thing, is is talking. And I wonder how much of that has helped you along the way, just having good people to be able to vent to, you know, just let out whatever it is in your head and have a soundboard.
Yeah, I think this whole process has made me realise, like, the friends that, like, not all of your friends need to be that person, but when you acknowledge and you sort of recognise the people in your lives that you can just, like, blow off steam, and they will pass no judgment, and it is hard. And I went to a Millen therapist for a while, because what's very hard about something like the stuff that I was going through is, and this is a bit of advice for anyone listening that has a friend, is the most frustrating thing to hear when you're trying to offload is, well, my mum was sick and she said this,
yes.
or with your cousin or whatever. You need to be able to sometimes just offload, and then there's silence,
yeah.
or there's just like, oh yeah, that must really be hard for you. And so that's something, I've just moved into a new house and I'm settling and I'm unpacking boxes. But the minute that, you know, I'm in a routine, I'm going to get a therapist, because I do think that as good as all friends are, it's a luxury that I can afford, but it is, and it's still a bit of a taboo subject, but I've got a lot of friends now who do go to therapy, and it's becoming less taboo. And I just think to talk to someone neutral, because it's hard to find those friends that aren't going to pass judgment and aren't going to have an input. And if you're not confident, then you're going to start listening to what they say rather than listening to your inner compass.
Well, isn't that the case? The outside noise becomes almost deafening at times, and it's hard to know perhaps who to trust or who should be your one true guide through, like, what you've been through, grief or whatever it is that we're experiencing. And you know, like you've said there, it's about pinpointing your intuition and what you believe is right. So do you think at this point, and I know this is still all very raw and recent for you, but do you feel in touch with that inner voice, and are you able to kind of navigate what you're experiencing by listening to what's going on inside?
Yeah, I think 90% of the time. I think I've got to be honest and say that, like, I mean, 3 weeks ago I just hit the floor, just like, not physically, but just mentally. I just spun out and I realized I'd stopped being myself, and I'd started asking everyone's opinions, and it's like, no one was going to tell me getting a spiderweb tattooed on the side of my head was a good idea, so you have to just do it yourself. and then when you start asking people if they like the way you dress, it's like, well, you need to just dress how you feel happy. And it's all those things. It's so easy to fall into community thought, which isn't a bad thing, but really that's not going to get to the bottom of what makes you happiest. But also, I'm not a stranger to grief, so this is something that's been really important in my life that I've been able to harness before. So when I was 16, my dad suffered a major stroke, leaving him paralyzed down one side. You know, it wipes out half of your brain. So he's got memories, he can talk, he's present. But as far as, like, the dad I was living with up until I was 16, that person was gone. And in that time, from 16 to the band being successful, I made sort of a semi-conscious decision to not be defined by the bad things that had happened to me, but using them as fuel. And there isn't a right or wrong way about grief. Like, everyone should do it their own way. But I didn't want to be defined, and I didn't want to be known as that guy that whose dad was sick. So there was a time when my manager had been managing me for like 2 years, and he met my dad, and he was like, "You didn't tell me your dad was in a wheelchair." And that was just really important to me. And it's also something that I'm navigating now with what's happened with Emma, is that I'm not going to be a spokesperson for this or that. I still need to remain Laurie. That's really important to me, to my family, to everyone, because being defined by grief then takes your personality away. It's harrowing and it's awful, but I'm very grateful because I'm in a much better position than a lot of people. I haven't had to work. I've been able to look after my family. I've got a roof over my head. It's about understanding that it's awful, but then understanding that it could be worse. And people hate hearing that it could be worse. And sometimes you do need to just get under a duvet and cry. But for me, getting up and achieving something is what fuels me. And this year has just, like, lit a rocket under me, basically.
I think that's really wonderful for so many people who'll be listening to this to hear, because I think when you're experiencing something like grief or depression or any of those extreme experiences that we can go through, it can feel endless and it can feel very defining in the moment. And I think for you to sort of be able to still see the positives that are in your life and some beautiful ones like your family and like this, you know, amazing creative ignition that's, you know, taken off this year for you, is a great comfort to a lot of people. And I can only thank you again for not only sharing your story today, but also your music, because it's always been a great healer, well, for everybody, but self-indulgently for me. My God, it's been, I'm not musical at all, but for me, listening to music and listening to musicians channel something so powerful will always be a mystical alchemy that I can't understand, but I just love. So thank you so much. And I really hope that we can work together again in some way, because I think there's so much more we could talk about. There's so many more things that we could discuss. And I really hope we get to do either a part two of this at some point or a continuation in some way, because it's so important that you're talking about your story. And, you know, just so much love and luck to you, Laurie. And again, just a massive whack of gratitude headed your way.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I've waited on the corner in the rain for lives that never came. That's a shame. I made my own decisions and I made.
Thanks again to lovely Laurie. So appreciate him sharing and being so open about such an important subject. You can hear Love You by Larry Pink the Human right now as part of the Happy Place album on Apple Music, Spotify, and on a limited edition vinyl. The full album features Emily Sunday, Sam Fender, Ludovico Einaudi, Amala, and many more. Thanks again for listening. Go live your life, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.